You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
The University of California, Irvine, UCI Master of Science in Pharmacology faculty are among the best in the field, recognized both nationally and internationally for their scientific research and publications. A number of faculty have worked with and or founded pharmaceutical companies and hold patents relative to drug discoveries they made. The UCI two-year 100% online degree program is designed for working professionals who are interested in advancing their careers or enhancing their competitiveness for admission to other degree programs. Fall registration is now open. Apply today at sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology to learn more and reserve your seat by June 15th, 2020. That's sites.uci.edu/mspharmacology and reserve your seat today.
Here's the thing. You're busy. You're a professional. Maybe you're a pharmacist, and you know you're capable of doing more. Doing much more, and living a more organized, less stressful, purposeful, and freedom-driven life. Let's talk, let's share, and let's grow together as an industry, as healthcare providers, and as a better unified community. It may seem like some of these things don't easily fit together. After all, what do career coaching, marketing strategy, networking, and pharmacy have in common? Welcome to the RX Buzz. Your host is a pharmacist, a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a proven motivational career coach, Ashley Clevens Hayes. This is the RX Buzz Podcast, a collaboration between RX Ashley and the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey, Kimber, welcome to the RX Buzz. I am so happy you are finally here with me.
Hi, Ashley. It's so great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course. We met last year at, I think, Medipreneurs Conference. Is that where we met? I don't remember where we met.
Yes. Yeah, we met at Medipreneurs in Asheville. We had talked, I think, over email, but officially met. I went to your talk that you gave on branding, which I really enjoyed, and you gave a lot of tips to the audience, and
Thank you. I know
I've taken many of those away.
Thanks. Personal branding is literally my favorite topic in the whole entire universe. One of a few of them. But all right. So tell us a little bit about your background, who you are. If the audience hasn't heard from you yet, then they're missing out. So I want to fill them in with who you are.
Well, thanks. So definitely, obviously, I am a pharmacist. I've been a healthcare leader, and now I'm a full-time entrepreneur. My goals are to help pharmacists strategically advocate for roles and resources so that they can advance practice and accelerate their engaging careers. I've been an entrepreneur, kind of an entrepreneur working in an organization, if you will, with prior health system that I've worked for. And in those roles, I've been able to add over 100 pharmacy positions at two recent health systems in the past 3 years. And my motto really is pharmacy can do more with more. And I really believe that we can increase the demand for pharmacists. And, I know there's a lot going on in pharmacy these days, but I really want to help increase the demand for pharmacists because I see huge unmet needs. I've been able to, add these positions through innovative strategic planning and demonstrating to our senior leadership and our providers the value of pharmacy. Mm-hmm. We've added services from transitions of care pharmacists and technicians, ambulatory clinic pharmacists and primary care and specialty, and even in the acute care clinical and adding technology enhancements.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So this is amazing. Okay. So how did you get to that point? What type of background experiences led you to kind of understanding the how to add the resources? Well, first of all, you have like this unbelievable, remarkable belief system that the pharmacist deserves to be on, have a seat at the table, which I'm glad that we are established in that realm. Like that's essential. That's first things first. But then like, what did you do to get to that point to kind of help you leverage that skill?
Yeah, absolutely. I've learned, through a lot of different avenues that I've trained on, and then definitely strategic planning, business planning has been kind of my area of interest. You know, it's a topic that I tend to do more research on, you know, when you do find that kind of passion that you enjoy, but then you also realize you can maybe be, you know, more of an expert at and help people. So I've spent more time on it. But, you know, my background, you know, definitely I've trained I did my bachelor's at the University of Connecticut, and then I did my PharmD at the Medical University of South Carolina, and did residency training at the Medical College of Virginia Hospitals, Virginia Commonwealth University. And then I finished a master's in health administration. So definitely some of my training, doing my residencies, and getting my master's has helped me. Mm-hmm. And then I've worked in a variety of healthcare settings. So in school, I did work in community pharmacy. And then I've worked mostly in hospitals and health systems through my training and in my career. But I also spent 10 years in the pharmaceutical industry. So I do owe a lot of my business acumen to my time there.
And what did you do your residency in?
My residencies are, you know, pharmacy practice, PGY1, and then a PGY2 in internal medicine, cardiology.
Nice.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I know you did your administrative residency, and even though I knew that I wanted to be a director of pharmacy, like I knew that was one of my career goals, at the time I chose to go more the clinical path. I don't know. I didn't have that strong interest, but obviously, like I said, once I got out, I did do my MHA degree, but it was all great experience.
Yeah, no, I just asked because you have kind of a windy path to where you got to today. And it's just interesting to know where you kind of got these, how deep are your roots in entrepreneurship? And so people always ask me kind of what I did my PGY2 in, and I say admin. They're like, oh, this makes sense why you're I could see it. People always want to know like the connecting the dots. And then sometimes it just kind of does it. And I love it. But we both have our MHA, which is so rare. There's not a lot of pharmacists with, maybe these days now more and more, but, MHAs are so different than MBAs and the MBA. I don't know about your MHA program, but where I got my MHA, we're going off on a little bit of a tangent, but when I got my MHA, it was like 60 credit hours and the MBA was 36 credit hours. So I was always like, oh yeah, I'm doing more.
The MHA.
And I think it's easier. I mean, not that it's easy by any means, but if you want to get like a master's degree to get that MBA but to see that you chose the MHA, I was like, yes, this is so cool. I love it.
Yeah, and I definitely talk to people about it. You know, my mentors, you know, at the time I was working at the health system, and I talked to people in pharmacy, nursing, even, you know, people who are non-healthcare, but they were or non, you know, kind of clinicians, but they were leaders. And, you know, I knew always that I would probably stay in healthcare. So that's why I chose the MHA. And I don't regret it at all. It was a great decision.
Either. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, so when you talk about, you know, could I have predicted this all? No, I mean, I think early on, I didn't necessarily expect to be an entrepreneur. I think over time, I definitely had different ideas. And, you know, it was about 5 years ago when I was transitioning and deciding I was leaving health system. At the time I had already left health system. I had spent 10 years in pharma, and had done a variety of roles, mostly all in medical affairs, from medical science liaison. I was a deputy director. I did phase 4 studies, investigator studies, grants, publications. And then I was the director of medical science liaison. So I did a wide variety of things with increasing responsibilities. And I definitely enjoyed my time there, but I was eager to get back to healthcare, you know, leadership. And be in health systems. So that's why I had returned to the health system. And at the same time, I did form my business. So 5 years ago is technically when I formed the Kimber Booth Group, with, again, my goal of kind of sharing my strategic planning, project management, insights that I had learned, as well as career development, because, you know, things that people came to me and asked me about. And again, would I have prepared or predicted it back then? Maybe not. But it all seems to make sense now when you look, you know, hindsight 2020. So it all seems like it's a perfect puzzle that I put together.
How did you get to I hear you. How did you get to the idea of,
you know, this is what you wanted to focus on, specifically helping pharmacies or health systems or community hospitals, whatever it is, you know, develop more resources.
Sure. Well, and so, you know, again, I started the business 5 years ago, more generic, more general, and I was doing that on the side while I was working. You know, I had a vision maybe that at in some point I would make it, maybe make it be a full-time venture. Mm-hmm. But then 2 years ago, actually, the first time I went to the Medipreneurs Conference, is when I was there and really thinking about, you know, where my passions were, which has always been with pharmacy. And even when I was in pharma, you know, pharmacy practice, supporting pharmacists was always a big pursuit. And then because I had these successes of advocating for resources within these health systems, you know, I just definitely wanted to share it. You know, I just, I see that pharmacy too many times is trying to do more with less. And that really gets us nowhere. Gets us burnt out, you know, all of these challenges. And I just wanted to share what I've been able to do to advocate for more resources with more people. And with the, my goal, even more recently, I think because of the challenges in our profession, concerns about numbers of graduates, PBM reform needs, that I want to help now. Like I don't want to wait. I want to spend more of my time helping individuals and, you know, leaders in health systems to advocate for more resources, because we definitely can do more with more, and we're well underutilized.
I agree.
So that's why I made the transition. And they, of course, they always say when you have a business, you should find a niche anyway. So I think niching down to really focus on pharmacy and really health system pharmacy expansion, which these days, of course, health systems are very broad. You know, I talk a lot about the pharmacy enterprise and the fact that, you know, so many of our independent doctors have become part of health systems. So the health systems these days are pretty broad, and we are adding resources both in ambulatory clinic settings as well as in the acute care settings, and even in retail aspects of health systems. So,
right.
It's a pretty broad, still broad.
It's a huge stroke.
But
yeah, I mean, it's a big, it's a big undertaking for sure. Okay, so, all right. So if someone's listening and they're like, we really love what Kimber's doing, tell us about, so what is it that you exactly do when someone has identified, you know, I need support in growing my pharmacy services. I need support in understanding the how to grow pharmacy services. Where do you come in? Like, how would I know to pull you in a certain conversation?
Sure. Well, and in general, excuse me, I serve in four different ways to help people in these topic areas. But I do provide consulting. So I will, you know, if the health system is in need of support in strategic planning, business planning, project management, execution, they can bring me in, and I do consulting. I'll go do some on site, and I do some virtually depending on the needs of the project. And I have a contract with them for a period of time. And in some cases it's shorter for a set project or initiative. In some cases, you know, I've gone in and just helped do the strategic plan retreat, like just help them really do the actual strategic plan over those couple days of that process, the brainstorming, coming up with the ideas, and kind of putting it all together. Mm-hmm. Other times I'm assessing a broader situation of what are the needs and actually writing the business plan to justify the resources and helping the team to present that to senior leadership.
Yes.
And I've seen people get new resources, you know, justified.
Right.
So that's how the consulting works. So if people are in need, you know, I'm not there to be a full-time person necessarily, but sometimes when hospitals do have open positions and they're trying to move things along, you know, I can be the one to help, you know, let me help you to execute on those most important projects while you're missing out and don't have people.
Totally.
I also have a course that I called Pharmavation, which is a facilitated 8-module program. So again, that could be for individuals who want to take that course and learn more about how to do strategic planning, how to write a business plan, how to have a career plan, or also offer it to, you know, departments who want to use it for a group of people as part of their own department development.
Yeah.
So it's different ways, you know, where, you know, the course, you know, is providing the skills and consulting is I'm helping to do the work. I also do some one-on-one coaching, and that's kind of, you know, taking the same topics, but maybe focusing more on the individual and coaching them through a process. So those are the bigger topics. Again, innovation, the pharmacy enterprise, strategic planning, business planning, and project plans are the big areas, and sharing what I've done.
I love that. So the people that are listening to this right now are like, okay, so we know what you do. We know how you got there. So tell us, like, how has your life been since you started entrepreneurship? Are you living your best life? Like, what does it look like? Tell us what the weeds of entrepreneurship looks like.
Oh, the weeds. Well, yes, I've had, you know, just a short period of time as a full-time entrepreneur. Again, you've heard I've been doing it part-time for the last 5 years, which comes with its own challenges. You know, I know there's different people out there trying to have a side hustle.
Right.
And I think it's been good. You know, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from you and others on, you know, the different aspects of having a business, from the legal aspects, the accounting, to the social media side of things. I would say, you know, being a full-time entrepreneur is better than trying to do it on the side. So I'm definitely happy to be living my full, you know, mission, and, you know, focused on this. Not to say that I can always get to do exactly what I want every day, but I do have more control over what I'm doing and planning. It's allowed me to really think bolder, which of course has been one of my main communication points anyways, is I just think pharmacy needs to be bolder, and now is my time to be bolder with my business. So I put a stake in the ground when I announced in December that I was going to be, you know, transitioning away from my full-time job to work as an entrepreneur in my business. And I said in 2020, I want to, you know, help organizations add 25 new positions this year. So
it's amazing,
you know, being able to do that, you know, and through my work of people taking my course or through coaching or through the consulting that I do, you know, that feels wonderful. And being able to spend more time focused on that goal, and making sure that when I'm choosing the things that I spend my time on, you know, does it align with that goal? Does it support that goal? And it's a good checkpoint. And I know you do the same thing, because you get presented with so many opportunities, right? Like, how do you decide what you're going to spend your time on?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like bleeding with opportunity. I get a lot of opportunities, as when you're in any sort of, how do I say this for lack of a better term, like public figure. I mean, I think it's just natural for people to want to gravitate to you if they like your message and if they like what you represent. Which is it's a gift. I mean, that's amazing. Anyone could do that, though. I don't think we're anything special. It's just like, if you make an announcement and if you say, "Hey, I'm doing this," then obviously people are gonna be like, "Ooh, so what are you doing? How's it going? And how can you come speak to us? And what are you talking about?" I don't think it's just a me thing or a you thing. I think it's just when you take that step into the launch mode of, "Hey, this is what I'm doing now," people are naturally inclined to ask questions. And so, yeah, I think it's a matter of what's most important to you. You know, what are your goals? Everyone has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's kind of like what you decide to do with that time will determine ultimately, you know, how you're able to achieve the goals that you put forth. Anyone can put together a goal. I mean, it's not hard to put together goals. What's the hardest part is taking the steps that get you to the goal.
True.
I agree with you. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I've had to say no to a lot of interesting things, a lot of cool things, a lot of things that I thought I wanted. But then ultimately, when I look down at myself and I look at myself in the mirror, I look at my goals, I'm like, wait, that doesn't align. And it kind of sucks saying no sometimes.
Yeah.
It kind of hurts.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of hurts my ego a little bit. I'm like, oh, but that would look so cool. But no, it just doesn't work out. You know? And as a working parent, I will say, I think that
has really given me another element to, another flavor to the mix, because like every time I leave the house, every time I spend hours in my business, that's hours outside of my family time. So it's really kind of made me more aligned too of how am I spending my time? It better be freaking worth it. Or else,
absolutely,
you know, someone else taking care of my kids, and I don't want that.
Well, and I am also, you know, I'm a mother of three, and you know, that's been important. You know, they've definitely been a factor in some of the decisions I've made. You know, when I left pharma, you know, part of it was the drive to get back to health systems and, and helping with population health. But part of it was also, I was traveling every week, you know, a lot. And I had, you know, newborn twins, and it was, it was a lot. So, I definitely try to look at my
life. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, newborn twins is a lot. Let's not just like easily skim over that. I mean, that's like a whole entrepreneurship journey in itself.
Yes, I had a 2.5-year-old and newborn twins at the time.
Oh my gosh. That in itself will, you know, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, we can do that one another time. But, you know, but definitely, you know, the decisions and how I wanted to have my business right now with the flexibility. I definitely travel, and you know, with some of the consulting, I'm definitely traveling. But there's a lot though we can do with technology that we have access to you know, today.
Actually, that's a great point. So do you go in, when someone hires you as a consultant, do you go on site, or what's your process?
Oh, it depends on what the needs are. Again, like if I am doing like an actual help facilitating a strategic retreat, I definitely go on site for that. But I definitely always do an on-site kickoff, you know, because I think that's important. And then usually, depending on how long, you know, I'll be working with somebody, a midpoint and at the end, you know, there are some of my clients who do want me to be there more because I'm helping to support them, helping to develop their own staff, you know, as, you know, people are newer, you know, to leadership. You know, there may be potentially a surplus of pharmacists, but there's still a shortage of pharmacists who are ready or and prepared for leadership positions. So sometimes I am spending more time on site, you know, a day or two, you know, a couple times a month. So it's a balance, but there is a lot that I can do virtually. It's been working out well, and I'll definitely continue to adapt and learn from my clients. While I'm also, you know, growing the number of people taking my course, which is great because that's an online facilitated program that people can do virtually, and I can support people virtually, you know, who live all over the country, and even some international students that I've had recently show some interest. So
that is so cool. When I got my first international client, my jaw dropped. I was like, and you're from South Africa? And how did you find out about me? What? And it was like, I read your blog. I was like, what? People and where are reading? And then you go look at analytics. Yeah. And it's like Japan and I mean, England, it's so cool. It's the impact that you're going to have, Kimber, and the impact you're already having is going to be it's global. So, you know, just in, like you said, today with different means of connecting just over Zoom, like we're doing right now versus, in person, I mean, that your reach is so big. So it's awesome. I'm so pumped for you. I mean, obviously you're doing great, fantastic things for pharmacy. I mean, the best thing of all is that you're getting more resources, therefore more job opportunities for people. I mean, that's especially huge in today's busy, busy marketplace when all these health systems are making all these cuts because the ecosystem in healthcare is changing so much. So I love what you're doing, and I'm so, so happy and excited to see what 2020 looks like for you.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley. And I teaching this whole kind of pharmacy can do more with more strategy. It is a lot about mindset and looking for those opportunities and kind of getting outside of maybe feeling put down and kind of the pressure that pharmacy's, you know, been under, so that we can be, you know, think innovatively and more bold and create the strategic plans and those business plans. Because it's definitely a journey, and I would not say that, you know, I've created those 100 positions like overnight.
But yeah, of course,
It came, you know, with a strategic focused effort, and I really do think we can, you know, do it. And honestly, you know, when we were talking before, there is a quote by Steve Jobs that I think about, and that he really talks about innovation as the ability to see change as an opportunity and not a threat. And I think with all the change we are seeing, many people are feeling it as a threat and not necessarily seeing it as an opportunity that it really is. Another, you know, question I recently shared with a group of people that I was providing, you know, a talk to, and I showed this slide, and it said limitless on it.
Ooh,
and
like
it says, you know, limitations live only in our minds.
Yes.
But if we use our imaginations, our possibilities become endless. And I asked them to really think about, you know, if pharmacy resources were limitless, you know, what would you do to advance practice and improve patient outcomes? Like, where would you go? And while resources aren't officially limitless, we can be more innovative and act as entrepreneurs and intrapreneurs to help advance practice by justifying resources.
I love it. Good for you. I this is totally something that is innovative in itself. So I love it. I've never heard of people coming in, and I've heard of the opposite, right? You hire consulting companies that will justify a cut in resources, but you're going in and saying the complete flip the script. And I'm here for that. I love that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but
I definitely have. And I think it's like, yeah, like I don't, you know, because the term consultant can kind of be like a bad term for some leaders, and, you know, getting them to realize that we can help. And, you know, at the end of the day, there is a return on investment for what I'm suggesting. Obviously, I haven't gotten these positions approved without providing ROI. And in some cases, the ROI is the improved quality, you know, reduced length of stay, reduced readmissions. It's, you know, more value-based payments. It's, you know, reimbursement for specialty medications, but it's also, you know, even on the inpatient side, it's about managing your drug formulary and reducing your drug budget. But instead of just saving that money, it's the resources you need to have an effective formulary and using that ROI to pay for things. So while I am going to be doing some subcontracting for some consultants who've been contracted to work for like the financial departments. And I think that's the thing where I want to work with the pharmacists. I want to help them make their department stronger, better, and bigger to meet these needs. But I will be working with some groups who've been hired by, you know, the financial consultants who are looking at, you know, is this department, you know, right size? Mostly what I have found at the organizations I've worked with so far is they are not right size. They're actually undersized
and
they're losing out on value.
Right.
So you could be saving money. You could be generating revenue or saving money if you actually invested in the pharmacy more. And you should not be cutting pharmacy resources. You should actually be expanding them, and then you'll see the value. And
it's really about how you're presenting it, I'm assuming. Like, it's just how you're telling the story to the CEO or to whoever it is, the chief financial officer, whoever it is that's in charge of making all these FTE, the budgets, decisions. So I love that.
Yep. Yeah, it is a lot about that, what you're looking at. And I like to say that we can solve the quadruple aim, you know, so the senior leaders care about their quality outcomes, especially when they're getting paid, where there's reimbursement tied to that. You know, we can improve the patient's experience through this whole, everything that they go through with the crazy life cycle of transitions of care. And we can definitely improve the finances. And the last thing, when we talk about the quadruple part, the fourth part of the quadruple aim is the provider engagement, right? You know, providers are having engagement issues. And if they have the right resources through having pharmacy team members to support them, then they have a better day. You know, mm-hmm. they have a better experience and experience less burnout because we have the right people, you know, doing the right job, you know, practicing at the top of their license, and everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love it. You are on fire. You're just getting started too. So if someone is listening right now and they're like, oh yeah, I need to get in touch with Kimber, what is the best play to reach out to you? What's the best place?
Well, definitely, you know, going to my website is kimberboothe.com, kimberboothe.com. And, you know, on there, you can go to my program page to learn more about the things we've talked about, from my course to the consulting, coaching, and speaking. You can also click there to connect with me so you can be on my email list, and I'll be sharing with you my blog, which is Connect Your Life. Yeah. I'll share updates and other things that I'm providing. So that's the best place. I'm also on LinkedIn at Kimber Booth. They can find me there as well. But I think my website's the best place to go.
Good. Okay. Well, I will make sure to link that in the show notes. And I have a good feeling that people are going to be super inspired by your story and just want to get some more value from you. So thank you for your time. This was awesome. You're a powerhouse, and I love surrounding myself with powerhouse women.
Thank you, Ashley. It's great to be with you and with your guests here, and appreciate the opportunity. Just encourage everybody to be bold and innovative. We can do more with more.
I love it.
This was just the beginning. If this was your first time listening to the RX Buzz, we welcome you and thank you for giving us a chance. And if you're an old friend, one of our subscribers, we cherish you and look forward to hearing from you. And now we need your help. We ask that you share this podcast with just one person you know who's in the healthcare industry. If this podcast can help just one person, we believe it will have a chain reaction, having an impact on dozens, hundreds, thousands, and someday millions of people. Thank you for your help. We truly appreciate you. And thank you for listening to the RX Buzz, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.